Bow our heads together as we prepare to open God's Word. Lord, you speak to us by your Word and by your Spirit. So, Lord, we ask that you'll breathe your Spirit in this place to make clear what we are studying together. Lord, strengthen us in the waiting that we have, waiting on you, waiting for your time and your place as we study this great mystery of the end times and the future. Lord, help us to hear and understand what is ahead and how we must wait for it. In Jesus' name, amen. We are continuing our series on the end times. If you remember, we talked about the rapture. We talked about the picture that Paul paints for us in 1 Thessalonians about what the second coming of Jesus will look like. And it was a picture that shows us about that it looks very much like Palm Sunday, right? Where the dead will rise first to go to meet our Lord in the sky as he's coming to earth. We who are alive will follow. We will be snatched up into this great meeting as our Lord comes to earth to judge the living and the dead. And it will be a great crowd. The sky will be full of people celebrating the coming of our King to earth. So this is where we started this journey. Today we are going to ask that question about the long wait. When is this going to happen? What kind of clues do we have? What's the end times going to look like? So some interesting pictures that we have to work through. And so we open God's Word together to do it. Our text this morning is from Matthew 24. And I'm going to read verses 36 through 51. Now this is part of there's several chapters here where Jesus is talking. So this is just going to be the focus point, but I'll draw in stuff before and after. Okay? Hear the word of the Lord. No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. This is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill, one will be taken, and the other left. Therefore keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch, would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom the master has put in charge of the servants in his household to give them their food at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. I tell you the truth, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose that servant is wicked and says to himself, my master is staying away a long time. And he then begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with drunkards. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him and at an hour that he is not aware of. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The word of the Lord. People of God, it has been almost 2,000 years ago that Jesus ascended into heaven. And we were told that he would return. But how long do we still have to wait? After 2,000 years, there are some people who sincerely ask the question, is Jesus really coming back? The Master has been gone so long, is he even coming back at all? Or can we do as we please? Now, the end of the world does still loom large in the minds of people. And I think this has happened all across the ages, really. But it's not just Christians who ask those questions. I think we've seen a lot of end times movies in the last number of years that feature some sort of major apocalypse. It's like the movie Knowing, which came out in 2009. You have a solar flare lunges out from the sun, and it is huge, and it hits the earth. It torches it, wiping out humanity. Oceans are turned to steam, and a wave of fire sweeps the planet, wiping out everything within minutes. Now, this particular movie even tries to weave in some prophecies and imagery from Scripture. So, this is not a movie that I recommend you seeing. You can. There's some interesting stuff in there. You know, it kind of goes in the direction of aliens. But it was somewhat interesting what they tried to do. But the end of the world, when will it happen? It could happen at any time. And really, even from a scientific perspective, they say, well, hey, anything could happen. There are a number of different ways this could unfold. Certainly, events of total destruction like this are possible. After the movie Knowing, then they said, well, what about a solar flare? Could that actually happen? And there's some debate on that. But when I took astronomy at King's, I learned about this star that might go supernova, a star called Betelgeuse. And at any time, it could go. And we wouldn't even know about it until we saw the effects of it. So, but if it did, it could scorch our planet, right? A supernova can wipe out a massive area. So the energy from this star exploding could cause the end of the world. Certainly a man-made holocaust is still possible by disease or by nuclear weapons. An asteroid could hit the planet again. But do we know how or when? Not really. Last time we talked about amillennialism. Okay, and if you remember, amillennialism is what our church essentially ascribes to, as this is the picture we see in Scripture of how this will be. Okay, so you have Christ, Pentecost, Easter, right? We say the kingdom of God came to earth. Christ is reigning now until the end, when it will be, we call it the final consummation, where Christ comes and his kingdom will come fully. The world today will end and we'll begin a new creation, walking forever with God. Okay? So this is the view that we understand and we hold to. And so when we talk about things like the rapture, we say that is a picture of the second coming. That's where God is going to, where Christ is returning to earth. This is just a detailed picture of what's going to happen there. Okay? So, what is our answer? Is Christ going to return? We say firmly, yes. But how long do we have to wait? And this is where we do run into a few tough questions. Just previous to our text, as Jesus is talking about the signs of the times and the coming end of the world, with a few other possible things mixed in, he says, I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. This generation, right? My disciples, my followers, you will live to see this, right? And it's almost like he's talking about the end of the world, that they will see it in their lifetimes. Well, that prompts a tough question. Was Jesus mistaken about this? What was he talking about when he says all these things? Certainly it was an impression that both Paul and some of the other disciples had too, was there was big stuff coming that they were going to see. So what was Jesus talking about when he says all these things? Well, I think it's helpful to consider how Mark heard that same message. Mark records a very similar saying of Jesus in his gospel, chapter 9, verse 1. You can compare the two, right? I tell you the truth, some of you who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God come in power. And here Mark is pointing to the coming of the kingdom of God, right? So he's talking about Easter, right? The resurrection of Jesus from the dead. He's talking about Pentecost, the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, right? Where God's people begin to be a kingdom that is not of this world, people that are being changed, right? So it seems as though when Jesus is talking about all these things, right? What is he talking about? Is he talking about that, the kingdom of God coming to earth? But we do have some possibilities. What's Jesus saying? There is some disagreement. Some say that Jesus was just mistaken about when the end of the world was coming. Others say he was talking about other movements of God and not the final end of the world. Well, in his book, The Bible in the Future, Anthony Hukama argues that we need to read all of these passages in light of what Jesus says in the beginning of our text for today. Matthew 24, verse 36, where Jesus says, "No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father." Right? Jesus says that he has not been told when the final end would happen. And then he goes on to talk about, it's like anticipating a thief coming in the night. And that's where Paul leaves it as well. So what was coming soon? Within the lifetime of the disciples, what did they see? They did see Easter and Pentecost. The kingdom of God did come in power. And it was amazing. It was a powerful experience for them. They saw God's power poured out on earth, changing the lives of people. Right? But then they also, in their lifetime, saw the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70. The Jewish people rebelled. And the Romans decided that they'd had enough of them, of this stubborn Jewish people. So they razed the temple to the ground and built another temple on the Temple Mount. And for the Jewish people, they were scattered all over the world, right? So this seemed to them very much like the end of the world, right? It was a traumatic experience for the Jewish people. As far as the end, Jesus himself says, only the Father knows the day or hour. We don't have specifics. I think if you watch some thinkers on this and you listen to some programs, right, they may try and do a lot of math to try and calculate the date of the second coming. And we say all of that is a waste of time. Jesus and Paul both say this is going to be like a thief in the night. You have no idea, right? We can't just make sure we're ready on that day, right? Jesus says, always be ready. But we are given some signs to look for. And we are given some instructions for how to wait. So let's consider some of that now. In Matthew 24, verse 6, Jesus talks about some of these signs. He says, "You will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death. You will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith. They will betray and hate each other. Many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, because things get so bad, the love of most will grow cold." And then it says, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." When we listen to this, we often ask the question, is the end almost upon us? There are certainly many things going on that may fit this puzzle. I think there are wars and rumors of wars. There are sort of always those sorts of things going on. Okay? Catastrophe does lurk around the corner at any moment. But I think some of this picture is far more grim if we listen to it. And when we look at the state of, you know, Christians are being persecuted around the world. Yes, we are the most persecuted group in the world today. But when you listen to this, it seems like this is a far worse picture, far more difficult and hard. Some evangelists have tried to advocate for doing missions in every last country to speed up the second coming, right? They take that last phrase, right? The gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world. Every nation will have a chance to hear. So they think, well, if we can do that, if we can bring the message to the whole world, it will make this prophecy come true faster. We can speed up the end of the world. Here's my thoughts. Really, this could be any time. But the picture Jesus paints here is that things are going to be significantly worse. The church is going to have a real struggle before the end. It could be much like the days of Nero, who some in the church have called an antichrist. We will face real persecution and hatred, such that Christians will even begin to turn from the faith. They will begin to betray and hate each other. And as wickedness increases, I mean, the love of most grows cold, right? It's just to say, when things get so bad, people stop caring at all, right? Our eyes will glaze over and we will no longer see the purpose of loving each other or caring for the next person in need, right? You know, that's sort of, how bad does it have to get before we turn off, right? Before the love goes cold, right? That gives me, it's scary stuff. I think we have a long way to go before we are there. But then that brings us to our next point, okay? There are additional signs in Scripture that are tied to the end times. Daniel 11 and 12 talks about the Antichrist, the abomination that causes desolation. Many scholars think this has been fulfilled a few times, and that it can, and that can happen with prophecy. It is fulfilled once, and then it is fulfilled again and again, right? It can happen. Patterns and repetition. A first time we think this was fulfilled was under a Greek king, Antiochus Epiphanes, in the 2nd century BC. He set up an altar to Zeus in the Second Temple. He set up a statue of Zeus in the temple itself, and he sacrificed a pig on the altar. Right? So, hey, the abomination that causes desolation, is that what, you know, basically completely destroying all Jewish worship by sacrificing an unclean animal in one of the most holy places, right? And he did that around 167 BC. Many Christians think of the Emperor Nero as an antichrist, and so that period of persecution that the church went through is almost a glimpse of what would come in the future. Okay. Many Christians did turn away, betrayed each other. Nero was horrific in what he did to people. So when we talk about a time of persecution at the end, I think it can definitely get a lot worse. That's where the language of the tribulation comes in, a hard period at the end. Say, possibly before the second coming, for however long, there will be a period of intense suffering. And Christians will be part of that. It will be largely us who suffer, right? But we're not going to be exempt from it. We're not going to be snatched out of the picture and everybody else suffers. I think the church, right, Scripture is pretty clear that the church will be there. Christians will be suffering this terrible hardship in those last years. as far as what will be the abomination that causes desolation in the end, I have no idea what that might physically look like. And we're not really told much. We do have some days that Daniel cites in 11 and 12, 1,290 days, and then 1,335 days, right? We have those. And so then you get those, some scholars will say, well, can we do some math? Is this about how long that period of suffering will be at the end? So we can try, we can think about these things a little bit. But we have to remember that very little is shown clearly to us. And it's not good for us to obsess about times or dates. We're best left with that simple mystery. This is going to be like a thief in the night, and only the Father knows the specifics. Jesus does tell us about the end times. Okay? He does. He talks about it. But he is far more concerned with the last question that we are going to cover. How shall we wait? This is what he says. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. And then he talks about the thief, right? The thief that's coming in the night. Then he says, who then is the faithful and wise servant whom the master has put in charge of the servants in his household to give them their food at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. But suppose that servant is wicked and says to himself, my master is staying away for a long time. And then he begins to beat his fellow servants to eat and drink with drunkards. The master of that servant will come unexpectedly and punish him. How shall we wait? How shall we wait for all of this? As you know, we have 2,000 years, right, of time where the church is waiting for Christ. How do we do this? The first simple advice that we have is just to keep watch and be ready. Jesus says, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch, would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. If you knew that someone was going to come, say, in the next couple weeks to break into your house, how would that change what you did? Like, would you set up, would you say, hey, change your sleeping pattern so you can be at watch certain hours? Would you get yourself a big attack dog, right? What would you do differently? You would be trying to set up some sort of ways to be ready for when this thief would come. Jesus says, you don't know when the king is coming, but I want you to wait in that way, that he could come at any time and be ready. Okay? Keep watch. Jesus has two parables that follow this passage. One is the parable of the virgins, which essentially says the same thing. Hey, you have all the virgins that are waiting. The bridegroom is coming. He could come at any time, but some of them didn't bring enough oil in their lamps. They weren't ready and waiting when the bridegroom came, right? So be ready, right? Keep watch. The second basic instruction we have is that while we wait, we should keep up with the responsibilities that have been entrusted to us. Who then is the wise and faithful servant whom the master has put in charge of the servants in his household to give them food at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. And here again, we have another parable that, you know, you're in charge of, I've given you lots of things to be in charge of. If you decide to drop it and not do what God has entrusted you to do, the master is coming. Are you ready for him? And here we have the parable of the talents is one that comes following this as well, and that reinforces that idea, right? God gives each of us a talent, something to be in charge of. And when we use it well, God is very pleased when he returns. The master is pleased. But if we bury it and sit on it and don't do anything, then he says, what were you doing? What were you thinking? Didn't you know I was going to return and ask for this? Where were you? I'm a big fan of Brandon Heath, who is a Christian songwriter. And he's got a wonderful song that catches a lot of this message, okay? And so the picture he paints is the song is called The Harvest. But as though we are workers in the harvest field. But then he adds some urgency to it to say, hey, the master is coming and we're not done yet, okay? And for us, as you know, part of the woven into the song is just we have received so much and God has given us this to be in charge of. And the master is coming. Are we ready to answer? Are we doing the work that God has? Right? It's part of the question. Let me just sing a little bit of the song, okay, for you. It says, for all that we've grown, how could we forget those who don't know or who don't know yet? Let's harvest this field from sunrise to sunset. The master is coming. We are not done yet. We are not done yet. Right? The master is coming. We have work that we're supposed to be doing. Are we doing it? When he returns, will he find us being faithful with the responsibilities he's given us? People of God, what do we understand about the end? How long do we have to wait? Is Christ going to return? We say yes. When will he come? We do not know. It could be at any time, but if we hear the end times prophecies, I think we know that things will probably get much worse before the end, okay? Especially for the church. There is time of real struggle, possibly a big tribulation before the second coming, okay? Time of suffering. But then the last question, how shall we wait? We must keep watch and be ready and be doing the work that God has put us in charge of, okay? We do not know much about when all of this is going to happen. The end of the world will come. Christ will return. But in the meanwhile, how we wait is the most important thing. So let's keep watch, as though we knew that a thief was going to come tonight. And let's work hard, as though the master is coming soon, and we still have work to do. All God's people said, amen.